think you guys are making a big mistake not responding. Look. The way they walk and the way
What in the... So I love when they get him right by the chopper. So basically what you just heard was that it's true. Basically what you just heard. So someone at CNN asked him, this is CNN. They asked him, they said, would you go so as far as to say Alexei Navalny's blood is on the hands of House Republicans? And Biden said, I wouldn't use that term, but I think they're making a big mistake. And then he said that their conduct is wild, and the way they're walking away from the threat of Russia, and they're walking away from NATO, and they're walking away. So he like was going on and on. You could hardly hear it because A, he's a marble mouth, and B, the chopper right there in the background. That's Monday for you. Hi, Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour. Whoo! It's going to be a weak and stupid. I can feel it in my bones, Kane. It's going to be so dumb. It's going to be such a dumb week. I can feel it already. If that wasn't it. I mean, this is... They keep trying to make it about something that it's not. And this idea that somehow the party that actually expanded NATO is somehow walking away from NATO is bonkers. That doesn't make any sense. Because why would you even have that? This is what angers me about the press. The fact that he can even say that, anybody, any Democrat can. And then you have the media going, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, this is CNN. And that's the response. Instead of going, well, wait a minute, sir, didn't NATO expand before you were in office? Didn't the other party expand NATO? Didn't they add countries? Didn't they start the pathway for Finland to join? Then what's he going to say? Oh, but heaven forbid the media ask him that. Oh, because then they would have to forego their precious invitations to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is basically a knockoff Oscar party for people who are either too stupid, ugly, misshapen, or otherwise unintelligent to ever make it anywhere else but Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., the great value version of Hollywood. Yay! So Dana Lash with you. Can listen to this program coast to coast so long as George Soros allows it. I'm waiting, Kane, for the calls on that. I'm waiting for them to tell Radio America to say, stop her from saying that. No. I'm gonna keep doing it until you're going to have to fly to my studio, make it past Castle Doctrine, and put a hand over my mouth. So, welcome. I'm stealing that. Just say it right now. Say it. Don't put it in Slack.
Washington, D.C., the junk drawer of humans.
Yes. That's actually great.
That's what they are.
It's true. It's so true. So you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast. There's a video component. I always wear black because I'm not going to pay money to hire a stylist to tell me to wear a color that I hate. And so there you go. Welcome. And you can find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse. And you can find me on social media telling someone that they're moronic, I'm sure. Brought to you by Patriot Mobile. All right. So code Dana for activation. So this Q&A. And this idea about NATO, and this is because Trump had said, well, maybe if they're not going to pay, then well, whatever. But the whole thing is that, NATO expanded. NATO expanded. I don't know where they get off saying this and why no one is passing or pushing back on this. This is what really is frustrating, because this isn't a correct presentation of this entire... This is not a correct presentation of this. This is... They're making stuff up to try to make it look like they're the... This was the... Biden was vice president when they said nothing when Russia annexed Crimea. So just curious how this works. They said nothing. That's where... Really, you should have Republicans pushing back on this. If only they had messaging. Oh, but they're now having a slap fight. I don't even want to get into all of that unless I'm forced, because I just don't care. There's so many other things to talk about than people's ego and this person dropping oppo about this Republican to NBC and this Republican dropping oppo about this other Republican to another outlet. That's going to happen back and forth until people get their stuff. I want all of those people running for seats to lose in the Republican Party, on the RNC. Everybody, every single person who's all the people who are arguing over it. I'm just done with it. I'm done. All right. So they, this, you put this up. This was audio soundbite 4, I believe. Correct. Yes. So this was Biden discussing this NATO issue. Listen.
The idea that we're going to walk away from Ukraine, the idea that we're going to let NATO begin to split, is totally against the interests of the United States of America, and it is against our word we've given since all the way back to Eisenhower. So it's about time we make sure that Congress come home and pass the legislation funding NATO. It's critical.
Wait, why are we talking about funding NATO? Wait, what the hell? What? I thought this was a Ukraine supplemental where we were giving $60 trillion to Ukraine, right? That's what I was told. That's how I thought this was working. So what happened? What's changed, Kane? I thought, so it's a NATO bill now?
He either had another, you know, cognitive brain fart, or he just gave away the game. And the game would be to get Ukraine into NATO for the ultimate conflict with Russia.
Yes, that's, I don't want Ukraine in NATO because they're corrupt as all get out. I don't want Ukraine in NATO. As an American taxpayer that basically subsidizes 95% of NATO, I don't want Ukraine in NATO. And remember, Ukraine actually had kind of an opportunity there for a little bit to join NATO, but they dithered and dawed and whatever that, you know, blah, 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 and never actually began that process. And I don't want them to be part of it. There's, I don't see a reason for them to be part of it. I don't see, this might sound, I don't care if it does sound or not, because I'm only in the interest of American interests, protecting our well-being, et cetera, and I just don't see us continuing to subsidize this ongoing foreign land dispute as being in the interest, best interest of the United States. And if the people who are the singular result of cousins getting with cousins want to disagree with that, and that's true, because that explains the intellectual limitations of the people who make these stupid neocon arguments. If they want to say that, oh, well, it's because, oh, well, you're just doing the Putin wins. Putin doesn't win. He's been trying to take over Ukraine for how many years now? He can't. But you think he's going to take on NATO? Okay, Nikki Haley. All right. So speaking of which, she's going all the way to South Carolina. Did you see the tweet she had yesterday? What did she say? 12 fellas down, one more to go. Phrasing. We have the audio. I feel like this is a weird cutting room floor episode of Archer at this point. Go ahead, play this. Go ahead, slap it on us.
There were 14 candidates in the race. We've defeated a dozen of the fellas. I just have one more fella to catch up to. The majority of Americans disapprove of Joe Biden. The majority of Americans disapprove of Donald Trump. We don't anoint kings in this country. We let the people vote.
Well, true. Thanks for repeating stuff that, you know, we've all said for years. Okay. But why? She was in Dallas. I think it was end of last week. Wasn't it end of last week over the weekend? She was in Dallas and she was raising some big old money from some big old establishment folks. And they'll keep funding her and keep her in here as long as possible. But the stuff with Biden and the NATO stuff actually only benefits it benefits her, because people don't really trust Biden. But this is one area that I will say that independents actually think that Nikki Haley is legit on. I disagree with her foreign policy. That's like my biggest point of contention with her. But there are independents and moderates out there who, for whatever reason, think, oh, well, you know, she sounds actually kind of put together here. And that actually, she leads with that group, with those demos. She actually is strong on foreign policy with those demos. So Biden doing this back and forth NATO stuff with Trump, he's actually opening up someone who isn't going to get the delegates, but would actually be stronger against him in the general. Oh my gosh, get over it. I know that you love 45, but I don't give a rat's ass. This is the numbers of it. This is the honest to heavens numbers of it. I don't want it. I don't want a neocon Nikki. I don't want a Mouse House Nikki. I don't want any of that stuff. But she actually, and again, there's a number of reasons that go into this. But the bottom line is that with independents and moderates, I know she leads with us. I get you. But she leads with them on this issue. Survey after survey, that's her strongest issue. And she's, and I do not want a Nikki Haley candidate. She's competitive against Biden. I don't want to say any of these things out loud. You know, I think if, let me play this thought train out for a second. Again, speculating. Do you realize that, say something happened and the something pushing 80 boomers, Trump and Biden had to step aside or they weren't the nominee, you realize that it would be Haley and Newsom. And I think Newsom would best her. I'm just saying, keep all this stuff out on the table. Keep it all out on the table. So this is all the stuff that we've been kind of watching, some of the stuff that we've been watching over the weekend, including, you know, all of the latest. And we're going to get into that, all of the latest with Israel. And we have some headlines on that as well. But yes, I was reading a couple of editorials, including this one that was over at the LA Times. Blocking Ukraine aid is no way to put America first. I mean, I would think that that's the exact way to put America first, particularly when that's border security money. I'm telling you, they're going really, really hard on this. Really hard on this. Now, in the meantime, there's a good piece over at Red State discussing how Biden has very quietly trashed a key climate policy because he realized that it's kind of nuts. And again, this is, it began with a report from the New York Times, and it's these EPA emissions, the change to these rules. They haven't actually implemented them yet, but they were going to. They decided to make this concession to big labor, all the unions and these auto executives. And this is it was one of their climate change, the limitations on tailpipe emissions to try to force people to switch from gas power to electric vehicles. And they were going, and it did. It required automakers to produce more EVs or ramp up sales of EVs. People are not buying EVs. And they had a sharp increase that was going to hit how many that they had to sell. Can you believe that? The government was actually pushing them to sell X amount of EVs. That was going to hit after in 2038, I think. 2030 was the year. They were actually going to increase what they were demanding in order for them to be compliant with this ridiculous rule that they were pushing through the EPA. And thankfully, they changed it. Well, at least they didn't take it off the table. They're just not going to implement it. Because auto execs and labor unions were saying, look, I don't know if you're seeing this, but people aren't buying EVs. We're going to talk more about this here as we roll towards the bottom of the program. We have headlines on the way as well that you don't want to miss. All right, folks. So new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need. Any trees, any plants, they make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com, code D-A-N-A. Offer is valid for limited time, so tell them we sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So just a heads up, if folks are wondering where the live stream is on YouTube has been blanking with us for how long? I mean, they basically, they're treating us like we've gotten a strike for something, even though we've received no notification of anything. Juan has had his hands tied. The whole team has had their hands tied since last week. They regularly drop demonetized videos, suppress videos, throttle views, throttle access, throttle sharing, throttle distro.
Add Facebook to that list.
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, the same thing. I literally, last week, I didn't get over 20 impressions on a single tweet. So there's something seriously going on. Whether anytime that there's a shooting that happens, they literally put a boot on my throat. So that's what's happening right now. That's what we've been dealing with. And it's actually affecting us professionally, which I feel like there's grounds for. Like, I thought this is why I can't be a millionaire or a billionaire or a trillionaire. I would sue all these people, all their related families. I would lock them up into lawfare until I put them into generational poverty and they had to sell their souls in order to feed their families. That's what I would do. And I'm not joking. All right, moving on. Let's move on. Because it's aggravating because we hear from you guys and we can't do anything about it because we're at, you know, their mercy. You know, that's the way it is. Let's see. This actually sounds like a nice offer. NASA wants four aspiring astronauts to live in a 1,700 square foot Mars simulation for a year. I would totally do that. You know why? Because anything on Mars is going to be better than 95% of the people and things here. It is. You guys know it. Like, we could all go. Like, we'll all go volunteer. 12 months inside Mars Dune Alpha, and you get to take off from Houston. You get to take off from America, from Texas. So we've got that. Russia has been arresting citizens for mourning the death of Alexei Navalny. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Our friends over at Field of Greens. This is, it's not a supplement. It's basically a way to get all of the veggie sides that you never eat at dinner or lunch. Because let's be real, you never eat all the broccoli on your plate. If you have broccoli on your plate, like say you go out to eat or you just make it at home, you never eat it. You just put it, come on, you never eat all of it. Don't lie and say you do because God's watching you. But it's true. But with Field of Greens, you can start a healthier dietary journey because that's a huge part of all of this. And it's so easy to do. They take all of the super fruit and vegetables and everything else that you actually are supposed to eat every day. And these are items medically selected by doctors for a specific health benefit. So everything in here, and that's what makes Field of Greens radically different, is specifically selected to support your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, all of that good stuff, metabolism, healthy energy, all of this good stuff. 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables in a powder, one scoop into 8 ounces of whatever you want, preferably a healthy liquid. And you can even make a smoothie out of it. They have all kinds of recipes on their website. And that's all it takes. It's super easy. I know a lot of you do juices. A lot of you do smoothies. You need to switch up to Field of Greens. You're going to love it. But if for any reason aliens land and you don't, they're going to give you 100% money back guarantee. So Field of Greens will give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Just visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Dana to take advantage of that 15% discount off your first order and rush shipping. That's promo code Dana at fieldofgreens.com. Field of Greens for better health.
Inflation's not going anywhere. Major companies are continuing to lay off thousands of workers. Wholesale and retail prices went up in January. You can't believe the government's job numbers. The spin will be out there.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Out here in Hakumba, we're about an hour east of downtown San Diego right now. This is a very remote area that has seen an explosion of illegal crossings from Chinese migrants and Middle Eastern migrants. This is the area the cartel has been pushing them across for some reason. You can see some of them over my shoulder right now, camped out off a major interstate out here, waiting for Border Patrol to pick them up. I'll show you what it looked like out here last night. Take a look at this video. I came out before midnight. There were dozens of these migrants from all around the world who are camping out here with fires. It's chilly out here. Again, waiting for Border Patrol to pick them up. This is right off of Interstate 8 out here in San Diego County, a main thoroughfare. There was not a single Border Patrol agent out here for hours when I was out here. All these people waiting to be picked up, some from China, some from Turkey, some from Central America. They were just waiting.
Yeah, just waiting. Just waiting there at the border. These people camping out under the interstate. So now everybody's starting to shift over to the different access points. They're shifting over to different access points. That's what happened. Texas started using a force multiplier. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this first hour. And Maluja noted it's not just people coming from Central and South America either. Listen to this. Where else everybody's coming from? This is the follow-up to this. Check this out.
Here's some of what they had to say when I talked to them. Take a listen.
Where are you guys from?
Turkey.
Turkey. Where are you guys from? De donde son?
Ecuador.
Ecuador. Where are you guys from?
China.
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 What city in the U.S. do you want to go to?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. L.A.? Los Angeles. Okay. Hmm.
So we got people coming in from China and the Middle East, and there were people coming in from Syria, etc. I mean, coming in from all over. All over. Just, it's crazy. No, nobody, you know, but heaven forbid if you try to get, you know, take over 3.4 ounces of liquid on an airplane, then you're in trouble. Or if you were trying to enter your own country that you, in which you live without the ID, coming back in from a different country, you'd get in trouble. But hey, this is okay. I'm just, it's, everything feels like it's ascending to a shriek, a scream, an explosion. I don't know. Doesn't it feel like it's all amping up? It's like that Beatles song. What is it? A Day in the Life? At the very end, when it's just all the instruments at once and it plays up and then it just stops and drops down to the keys again. That's what it feels like. It does feel like that, doesn't it? Goodness. Again, welcome back, Dana Lash here. For those asking, because I'm getting a lot of questions about it, that YouTube is constantly, people need to understand that, particularly conservative creators, we don't just fight the left. We have to fight big tech and then grifters on the right and all this other stuff. We got to fight. We have like multiple fronts of a daily fight, and YouTube has been throttling us. People have been asking us, well, go to Rumble. I can't access Rumble because the first has my account on Rumble and they have not given us access to it in over like since the beginning. Yeah, we don't have access to it. I've asked and asked repeatedly. We've never been given access to that. So unfortunately, if you guys are free to ask the first why I don't have access to my name. But I can't help you with that. So our hands are tied there too. So every day is a fight. Every day is a fight. So I don't know. We're trying to get the YouTube stuff, trying to do a live show. But this is like the reality of dealing with a lot of this big tech stuff and the algorithms that are editorialized and weaponized against people. That's what I'm saying. All you got to do is just define algorithm as an editorial and have that as part of Section 230. You don't have to get rid of Section 230. You don't have to change Section 230. But edited algorithms to display artificial results that's editorializing. It's the new news, is it not? So that's the state of things, all amping up during an election season, which is what Kane always thinks this is. You think, I've noticed every single time there's any kind of shooting, all of a sudden, and I think this has been in place since the Parkland tragedy, I disappear on social media. Not because I don't go on social media. I think that there have been things in place since then to just completely, anytime that comes up, I am out. And I think a lot of it's still in there. I think it's still there on YouTube. I think it's still there on Facebook. Instagram, I don't see it as much. But on Twitter/X, I still see a lot of it there. So ever since the Kansas City parade shooting, I've seen my account throttled. I would have literal, like actual posts that had 10 impressions. Now they've kept me at 1.2 million followers for 6 years. And finally, something's kind of started breaking loose towards the end of last year, and that changed a little bit. Now it's at 1.3. Oh, it's so goofy. But I just noticed after the Kansas City parade shooting, my impressions dropped down to nothing. And basically 10 impressions, what does that mean? Like, I mean, I'm not kidding you. One of them, it was 11 impressions, and it was up there for 3 days. Yeah. That they're trying to say that out of all those followers, 11 people saw it. Does that make sense to you guys? I mean, I took screenshots. Does that make sense to you guys?
Accidentally tweet like a comma, it gets 11 impressions right away.
Yeah. So that's, It's all by design. This has been going on since pre-2012. This has been happening for a long time because the right was so successful at using social media to raise awareness and push back on narratives to the point that the left was not prepared for it. In fact, one of the reasons why in 2010 the midterm elections were so successful for conservatives was because conservatives really, really used, they really leveraged social media as a way to fight against media narratives. In fact, the left created in the wake of, they used a lot of the Howard Dean stuff, but after they ended up, after Howard Dean lost, they ended up trying to figure out how they could use the internet as a way to raise money, et cetera. And they were really slow with it. And then Barack Obama got in office and they created Netroots, which was this, it was like a social media confab that was for progressives. And I crashed one. Actually, I purchased a ticket and I attended and they freaked out. And this was in Rhode Island. I went all the way to Rhode Island, beautiful state, and went to a Netroots thing. And the whole thing was about raising money and trying to battle narratives online. Now, this was back like 2009. So this was when conservatives were very, very successful at leveraging social media. And this was in the wake of the Tea Party. We were able to raise money. We were able to fight media narratives. We were able to do all of this. And I would say the first time ever that the conservative media leveraged the internet to wage war against media narratives was Powerline, a blog that's still up, run by attorneys they went after Dan Rather. They had the Dan Rather papers, the Mary Mapes Dan Rather stuff. Drudge began that way, but it was really Powerline, the website, before micro, you know, media or social media, before all of that took off. That's what they were so successful, and that scared the hell out of the left. It scared them half to death. I mean, everybody who is anybody on the left and in social media was at Netroots, and it was all specifically for progressives. And they had to figure out, how are we going to counter this? And then they began courting people like Jack Dorsey over at Twitter. So I saw a lot of this. There were a lot of people who were, bloggers at the time, and they were trying to help a lot of the progressives on social media network with Jack Dorsey, etc., and have a relationship established there, because the left figured out that since they couldn't really defeat the right on social media, they would just change the game on social media and shut the right down. It wasn't because they were just afraid of the right speaking truth. They were afraid of the right converting more people. I mean, in 2010, you guys, I don't think you realize the magnitude of that win. That was a humbling loss for Democrats. And it was all at the hands of all of us who were on social media and who had been in the streets, because that's the thing. You can't just be on social media. You have to pair it with real-time meat space activism. One without the other anymore does not work. You have to have a complement of both, and it has to be well-balanced. And we were so effective at that in the early days that they had to change the rules and change the game and edit algorithms in order to try to shut us down. And then the last big movement that took place using that was the Don't Go movement. And that was back when the House Republicans were holding the line against, they were the minority holding the line against Nancy Pelosi. They didn't want to leave. They wanted to negotiate lower gas prices. Democrats literally turned the lights off and had Capitol Police escort Republicans out of the House that time. And remember that they shut the C-SPAN cameras off? We don't ever remember that happening. And escorted them out. And there was so much chaos that was raised online from that, the left was terrified to do it again. So they changed the rules. That's what this is all about. It's a penalty to the right, because the right outmaneuvered the left on social media and the left couldn't match it. So they decided to shut the right down because they're rat bastard cowards. That's what it is. And that's been happening on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X. They're still dealing with all of the layers of previous manipulation to falsify results for people and to falsify organic interactions, because nothing is organic anymore. It's all contrived so that you have a specific experience with the end result designed for you to be persuaded to do something differently from what you're going to do. That's the whole thing. That's the matrix. Social media is the matrix. Now, a few other things to hit. In addition to this insanity with the border, still nothing from the administration on the importance of that. They're saying things like, well, you know, they got Alexei Navalny's blood on their hands. What, you know, What about the hands of all of the people who have been human trafficking at the southern border? What about that? This is what I just don't understand, how people can go out and say, like, one of the editorials that I shared with you, the editorial of, well, you know, blocking Ukraine aid is no way to put America first. The argument is that Ukraine has to win over Russia, or Russia and China are going to start World War III. That's the argument that the left and the neocons want to make. That's what they're saying without saying it. That doesn't make sense to you, does it? Because it's stupid. It's a stupid argument. We're going to bring this up with Stephen Yates here coming up. He's going to be joining us in our third hour. Our partners over at Wise Foods, Wise Food Storage. When emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to worry about ever is having to, you know, figure out where your next meal is coming from. And this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one offer right now. In fact, they have a bunch of exclusive deals right now that you can get. Just visit wisefoodstorage.com, type Dana in the search bar to access all of these deals. For instance, you get a 72-hour food kit, a buy one, get one, $100 value for $50, two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, and 11,120 total calories in each kit. All food is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water. They also have their heirloom seed vault as well. 39 variety of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties, and each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Just type in Dane in the search bar for those exclusive deals like that 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana, and then use Dana in the search bar.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And to find out that literally Barack Obama's two terms in as president are your reparations, and Juneteenth, which you already celebrated anyway, is your reparations, and yet you built this country. You literally physically built this country, and yet the attitude toward you from a lot of your peers and your fellow citizens is just shut up and be grateful.
Can I be real?
And it's
her
it's
mom, her dad was from the Democratic Republic of Congo, you know, where they hand mine, where Biden uses kids to hand mine for cobalt for his, yeah, all of his electric vehicles.
It's green, Dana.
Huh?
It's green.
Oh, yeah, it's green. That's right. So it's okay. And her mom is from Guyana. So what do you mean you built this country? I mean, it's a fair question, right?
She literally and physically did
it. I mean, you can come over and, you know, join the American fabric and be a citizen. But it's like when you say overly self-important and hyper-inflated things like that. Like, I literally built this. Can people stop using the word literally? Figuratively acceptable. Literally means you're actually doing it. Like, I literally built this country. Oh, you built it, did you? You mean you went out and you stone by stone placed everything to build the buildings and you tilled the... Shut up. You didn't do that. But can I just... It seems a little bit like cultural appropriation to claim that you built the country when... I mean, she was born in Brooklyn, but her parents were from DRC and Guyana, respectively. Her dad and mom. So that... Is that wrong? Because I know appropriation, we've been told that that's really bad.
It is.
I mean, I remember I got yelled at by the left for wearing gold hoops on CNN one time. And I asked them if they appropriated the gold hoops from Sumeria. And because that's really where it started. I know my jewelry. Do not. There's certain things I know. I know weird things. I have a particular set of skills. And knowing useless random trivia... Oh, man, I'm your girl for trivia night. Let me tell you what. I don't know what it is, but I can retain the weirdest parcels of information unlike anything you've ever seen. Do you know what the ends of shoelaces are called, Kane? Aglets. What?
You beat me to it.
Anyway, so I was told that appropriation's bad.
Yeah, and is that her hair looks like she's appropriated that as well. So it's not just the narrative.
I mean,
I think she's appropriated that hair also.
I mean, if I could be told that I was appropriating from the Sumerians, you know, the gold hoops, then right.
I mean, it's literally she's taken the idea of Trump's top part of his hair.
She stole Trump's hair.
Yeah, and she stole it.
That's his hair.
She just appropriated it.
I mean, it's like, I just want to know why. I just want to know why she's wearing Trump's hair. Yeah. It's a little goldener than his, you know, his hair color. But remember the Lego dudes, like back in the day, you'd snap their hair on their heads?
Yeah.
The same thing. Exactly. It's the Lego hair. It's also that. Okay, can I be honest about the sneaker thing?
Yeah.
So Trump was at the, what sneaker event was it? Sneaker con, literally, I think it's what it's called. Everything's a convention. Everything's a con. And he debuted a pair of sneakers. I'm going to be real. It looks like something you get off Shine. Looks like something you buy off Shine. Really. Or Temu. Temu. What is that?
I know what Temu is. Is Shine and like a Temu?
I think so. Okay. I don't know. I don't. None of those things sound legit, so I don't buy them anything off of them. And Temu or Temu, doesn't that, that's a CCP entity that just steals all your information and gives it to the commies in Beijing. China. But they just, they don't, I would not pay $300-something for those things because it's an inflation period and they are ugly. I'm not going to lie. They're ugly. You don't have to say that something's pretty just because you like the person. It can be ugly. Like there are friends of mine who have made really bad movies and I'm like, I just don't talk about them. We got more on the way. You don't want to miss second hour coming up. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee. This is the coffee that I drink every day. They have so many great roasts. It's just the best coffee that you can get on the market. Blackbeard's Delight is my jam right now. That's the pirate coffee. Blackbeard's Delight is my absolute jam. I have to have this. I'm a member of the coffee club. And so you can join the coffee club, get 30% off your first subscription order using code Dana. And then you could be like me, pick like, I usually do like Silencer Smooth and Blackbeard's Delight. And I might do, there's a couple of, you know, I might do a dark roast, super dark roast, like the Tactisquatch. I'll do that. And then I have it shipped to my house. I choose how often I want it delivered. I don't even want to get to like a quarter of the bag left. Like I need a new shipment before I even get there. And I don't have any shipping fees. It shows up right on my porch. So I never run out of coffee. So pick your coffee and your quantity. And you're going to save so much more than if you were going to get the bougie stuff in the store. This is so much more affordable. And again, right to your door, fresh, veteran owned, veteran roasted. Right to your door, veteran roasted. That's a new thing. No shipping fees. And you can also get grinders and kettles and mugs and so much more. Everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. And again, my favorites are the Tactisquatch roast. It's a dark roast. And I also really dig the Blackbeard's Delight and Silencer Smooth. Those are my three jams right now. But you can go get my coffee, get whatever roast you want. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the coffee club. Get 30% off your first month with code Dana. And save money on high-quality roasted coffee right here in America. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. I can't get over the video. Oh, you're going to see it in a moment. Good to be with you. This Monday, we're getting you set up for a good week. Really sorry to do this one video with you, but that's okay. You can listen coast to coast. We've been having issues with this simulcast because YouTube hates us. Social media, just in general, wants to throttle conservatives half to death. But it's good to be with you. All right, so first and foremost, remember how just 2 weeks, I think it was longer than 2 weeks ago, Eric Adams came out and said, oh, because of all of the illegal immigrants that Greg Abbott has been sending to New York, that they're going to have to cut a whole bunch of stuff, right? They're going to have to cut money from the police budget. They're going to have to cut money from education. They're going to have to, oh my gosh, millions of dollars. They're going to have to cut so that they can pay for these illegal immigrants coming in and living. The video is killing me. That's coming in and living in New York City. They're not cutting the dance team though. The NYPD dance team. So if there's a crime that happens, you know, imagine you call 911, you see somebody getting shivved in the street. You call 911, and the NYPD dance team comes to fussy the bad guys away. My favorite is the chick on the left, if you're watching the simulcast, Juan showing you. Like, she got her knee pads on and that, but when the other chicks go to the floor, because they're doing all these dance moves and that, and, like, she's in it, but when they go to the floor, she just, like, girlfriend marks it. She doesn't even go, all that. We gotta run that. We gotta... The one in the middle, and there, see, she's not even going, nope, not doing it, nope, not, nope, got the knee pads on, though, just saying. The dance team, what is the purpose of this? Anybody? The purpose of it?
I mean, I encourage it. More cardio means cops can run after bad guys better.
Kane. It's the New York. It's NYPD dance team.
Really trying to look at the silver lining.
I don't care about silver linings.
Trying to see the positive.
I don't care about positives. I just think it's weird.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Like, I don't think this is going to help. What is this supposed to do? Is it supposed to help foster goodwill with the community? The one in the middle is like really good. Number 24, she's actually pretty good. They're in basketball jerseys and they're in like biker pants. They got the knee pads on. You know, they're like dressed 1990s LA dance scene style. Yeah.
You see these moves in cheerleading a lot, you know, like college cheerleading. So at what point does this become cheerleading?
Well, they're actually dancing.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems like they're cheerleading.
The one in the middle seems like she legit has dance
training.
Because
I'm watching it without music. Right?
Yeah, we can't play because it'll be another strike against us.
It seems like it could be a cheerleading thing.
Yeah, it's not. Cheerleaders don't know.
No?
Maybe the Palm Squad, but no.
Yeah, something.
I just want to know what this has to do with. It's like a bad jazzercise class. I'm just wanting to know what this has to do with, you know, policing, serving, and protecting. Like, this doesn't get cut, but like Eric Adams goes out and is all, oh man, everything else has got to get cut because, you know, these illegal immigrants that are coming in. We got to cut everything, but not the dance team. They spent all this money on the robots that didn't work on the subway platforms. But, you know, everything's got to get cut, but not this dance team. Not the dance team. What's up, criminals? Fosse, what's up? And dance the crime away. What's happening? Would that make you feel safe? I think I'd be, I don't know if I'd be more scared of that or the criminal.
I don't think we see a lot of jazz hand jailing going on out there.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it's some interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. So I just feel like that maybe shouldn't be the thing that they should be doing. New York seems like it's going to have a lot of problems coming up because you also have this. Audio soundbite 19. So there are a lot of truckers that are not happy because of the civil fraud verdict. We had that happen Friday after we were off air, which I got to say, I don't know that I've ever heard of a fraud case happening without a victim or like, who do they pay damages to? Who do the damages go to?
I think the state of New York, I guess.
Yeah, so there's truckers saying that they're not going to go and pick up loads or do anything in New York. Listen to this, audio soundbite 19.
Hey, folks, your old pal Chicago Ray. I've been on the radio talking to drivers for about the last hour 15 minutes. And I'm talking to at least 10 drivers going the other way. I'm heading down from South Wisconsin. And they're going to start refusing loads in New York City starting on Monday. All right? I got about 3 drivers that I drive with. They already vibrated the boss and told them they ain't going to New York City. So, I don't know how far across the country this is or how many truckers are going to start denying loads to going to New York City. But I'll tell you what.
I feel like you don't mess with a guy driving a truck wearing sunglasses at night. I just feel like that's the kind of guy you don't mess with. You know what I'm saying?
Smart.
It's like he needs to wear sunglasses at night because he has lasers for eyes. Who is that guy that was in, was it Marvel, one of the Marvel? He had to wear the special Star Trek glasses because he had lasers for eyes. I'm just saying. Can I also add as a sidebar that why is there no, is, I know that there's like ice road truckers, but is there like a reality show about truckers?
Sure.
No, I mean like about like, cause they seem kind of like they have their groups. You know what I mean?
I
like you have different groups that all know each other. It's like a whole league. You know what I mean? Like it's like a whole like association. They all got their friends and they really, if they wanted to, they could destroy you because all the stuff that you need is stuff that they're driving to you. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like the last people on earth that you probably would want to make mad are them. I mean, think about all the stuff that you need every single day and how much of it comes by way of truck, you know? Did you ever, when you were a kid, in a road trip, and for whatever reason, why were we allowed to climb all over the car during road trips? I don't know. It was the 80s. Who knows? But did you ever like do the, where you were trying to get the trucker to honk his rig's horn? And they always did, and it was like, ooh, you would try to see who could get the most if you had other kids in the car that were apparently, for some reason, because it was the 80s, allowed to climb all over the car unrestrained. Seemed kind of dangerous. But I'm just, right? Like, I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, was I parented badly? I don't know. Feels like that was more of a danger than the than anything else. But yeah, they. It just seems like those are maybe the people. That's why I never understood why Canada wanted to mess with the truckers up there. It's like, you're ice. You're literally a country of ice and moose and bad leadership. Why would you? Why would you do that? Why would you taunt the people who bring you your stuff? I don't get it. Like, you go to the, say you got to go to the grocery store and you can't find what you need. Who's to blame? You, because you made mad the people who bring it to you. I'm just saying. Yeah, never, never, ever taunt a guy who's, it's nighttime, he's driving a semi, and he's got sunglasses on. They're probably prescription. I know a lot of guys that do that. But I'm just saying. So there's people, I don't know, I haven't really heard anything else about it. But, I, you know, they're going to appeal that ruling. So that's going to go through a whole process. But the New York one I thought was stupid because you had to bend essentially the way that state law works in order to try to ratchet it up to a felony. And I'm not going to get in the weeds of all this stuff. The one that, the only one that I actually thought had bearing was the Doc case with Mar-a-Lago. But at this, I don't know how Mike Pence stored his stuff. He got in trouble, but I don't, he apparently gave everything. I don't know how he had his stuff situated. But at the same time, and not just the way that Trump had it stored, but apparently the accusations, which, you know, they'll go through that and determine if they are, if they have merit or not of sharing or showing people the information. That's to me what I thought was like the one that if they were going to try to get him on something, that would be it. But if it's just the way that he stores stuff, I don't really understand how you can have a case anymore, particularly after you decided that Biden didn't do anything wrong. Oh, but because Biden's cheese-brained, that's why. So they can't prosecute him because he's not mentally willful. Wow. That's your defense? Really? Now you can see why Democrats are kind of freaking out a little bit with all this stuff. Now, in terms of switching gears here, Greg Abbott says he had released a statement this morning saying Texas has a constitutional right to defend itself from an invasion. This is a new phase in this. And the it's predicated upon what James Madison, and he wrote this in an op-ed that he had published in the New York Post. Abbott writes that Madison, who is the father of the Constitution, emphasized that Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 would allow Virginia's state militia to be called forth to suppress smugglers who had endangered their state. Abbott noted that the smugglers were bringing contraband into the state and threatening the sovereignty of Virginia's borders. Madison knew that the states must have the means to defend themselves, and John Marshall reinforced this right held by the states. And he discusses the mechanism through which they did that with Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, that states can use the militia when they find it necessary to respond to an invasion or imminent danger. And he makes that comparison with what happened with Virginia, with what is happening with Texas and Mexico smuggling in contraband and people, whether it's fentanyl or whatever it is. But he makes a really great argument, which is why this is ongoing in the courts with Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3, that the Constitution and the supremacy of the Constitution provides, and he cites the Supremacy Clause, that this constitutional provision supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary if Congress should pass one. So he's saying if the feds can't do it and won't do it, then the states retain the right to do it. That's a really, I thought it was a very good op-ed, and he explained it out very, very clearly and carefully. And that's going to be ongoing. In the meantime, you have a million different op-eds trying to push people into this whole accepting the supplemental without any kind of security at the border. But you also have some Democrats that are getting a little nervous about this because the border issues and the discontentment with regard to the border, plus Biden's own mental frailty, is really, it's not helping them. And I'm wondering how much effect that's going to have down ticket as well. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and they want to save you money. They want to make sure that your hard-earned dollars aren't going towards things that you vote against at the ballot box. And they want to make sure that in this time of inflation, you're able to enjoy dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. That's exactly what they provide, the best service in your area without funding the left. You can get free activation using code Dana. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team to make switching easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a server was fired, according to this piece. There's a couple different places. New York Post is one of them. A server was fired after she received a $10,000 tip, but owners say it has nothing to do with the gesture. They say it was a business decision. So she got a $10,000 tip, this waitress in Michigan. But the restaurant, and then she was fired days later. The restaurant said it was just a business decision. It was unrelated to the gratuity. The cafe that was in Benton Harbor canned Lindsay Boyd a week after this anonymous customer left the $10,000 tip on a $32 bill. That was according to Detroit Free Press. The guy wanted to be anonymous. He was honoring a friend. He was in town for a funeral, for his friend's funeral. And he requested that she split the gift amongst the wait staff, which came out to about a little over $1,000 for each employee. And they said that she got the tip, but she did not pay taxes on it. The business did. And she shared it at the request of the guy who left it. So they said that, I mean, they at that point, they let her go. And the management said it had nothing to do with the tip, but we couldn't go into detail because of labor laws. What? It sounds like it does have something to do with the tip. What do they get mad about? What? Like, you need to do a little bit better business. What do you mean if it was a business decision and you're not, and if it's, you don't have to worry about a labor law? I just feel like that's like a cop out, them saying that.
If I'm the person who wants to give it to the entire staff, I'm not going to give it to one of the staff. I'm going to give it to the manager or the owner of that particular establishment.
So what do you, does it seem like there's more here than meets the eye?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. So apparently, I don't know why we're doing this with the dodo stem cell stuff, but we are. There's an ambitious plan to de-extinct the dodo. There's a reason why God took it off the earth. Scientists want to use stem cell tech to bring back the extinct species. Why? I just feel like there's certain things that you don't do. Now, this startup is based here in Dallas. It's called Colossal Biosciences. They're using stem cell tech and genome editing to create a modern approximation of the species. It's actually a really ugly bird.
Sounds like a Jurassic Park star.
Yeah, it's a very ugly looking bird, and I don't understand. Why are you? It's extinct for a reason. There's a reason why God took it off the earth. What if it was evil? You know, I mean, like, archaeology can't really tell you all that. You know, what if it spit lasers? I don't know. Like, what if it, there's just things they just, you know. Political gender gap grows. Axios says that more Gen Z women are shifting left. 18 to 29 is what they're, how is a 29-year-old in Gen Z? Can we stop with these stupid, like, generational classifications? It's so dumb. Because I heard that if you're in your late 20s, you're still millennial. Now they're saying, no, you're Gen Z. That's so stupid.
But
stop
gender
it.
Is a spectrum, right? So then there's no gap at all. It's all a spectrum.
Well, also,
there's no gaps.
More young people typically identify as being left. And then they as they become older or more educated, they shift right. That's like typical if you look back throughout generations. This is so dumb. We have a lot more on the way, including the latest with the border battle. Ooh, and then more headlines on the Bidens 2024. more. Stick with us. Our new partners for radio, Gold Co. Precious Metals. And Gold Co., this is, it can be really confusing if you're out there trying to figure out how to add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation and everything else, because there's a lot of stuff out there and not everything is trustworthy. So this is why Gold Co. makes it incredibly easy to understand everything with regards to purchasing gold and silver. They offer a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for all individual buyers to explain the economy and exactly how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And this is an important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy, this whole precious metals ownership. Now, they have a zero complaint record at Gold Co. This is one of the reasons why I work with them. Unmatched customer service. They're all about transparency. And they'll answer any question that you have. And you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver on top of it. And you can get a free 2024 gold kit. So everybody knows the government's not going to stop printing money. This is why we are in this inflation position in the first place. You need to provide a layer of protection for yourselves. Turn to Gold Co. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you going to impose additional sanctions on Russia over Navalny's death?
You already have sanctions over there. Considering additional sanctions.
Yes. Do you support sending long-range missiles?
So Biden was asked when he got off the chopper whether or not, you know, what with the wake of Alexei Navalny's death. And he goes, well, we're considering additional sanctions. I wonder what sanctions those would be. Because they basically made it easier for Russian lobbyists like Fusion GPS and Natalia Veletskaya to lobby against lobby for the repeal of the Magnitsky Act, which punished those oligarchs. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, bottom of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. We also have Facebook, YouTube as well, and I believe the video portion of the radio program, the live stream, is up, back up. We've been fighting with YouTube. It's a long story. Anyway, so speaking of the Navalny thing, I ran across a really good editorial that is over at European Conservative, and it gets into Russia's Christian dissidents. And it's really insightful. It's a piece that's written by Jonathan Van Maren, and he discusses how essentially Alexei Navalny was a Christian, and he had written about his Christian faith previously, and how it had informed him in his positions and led him on the path that he had taken. And this plays in the face of Putin's seeming embrace of traditional values and faith. Because as Marin notes in his piece, you know, Putin tries to appeal to these traditional values of people in the West, but he uses an establishment, an orthodox establishment that hides his corruption. In fact, as Andrew Walker put it, the Orthodox establishment placed chaplain to his corruption, which I thought was a very good way of saying it. But this piece is interesting because I've noticed this increase in sentiment with some on the right, not all, very few, but some. And it's enough that the media has taken notice and they want to make these few look like the de facto representation of sentiment towards Putin on the right, which, again, is misleading, but purposefully so, because they're trying to leverage everything that they can to help Biden in the elections. Now, let's ignore the fact that the previous, you know, DNC just an election ago literally worked with the Kremlin to try to rob Americans of a free and fair election in 2016. But, you know, whatever. But this piece is interesting. And I wanted to read this portion to you because keep this in mind as you hear people try to romanticize what they think. Oh, Putin doesn't. He embraces traditional values and all of this other stuff. The piece from Van Maren goes, Despite all of this, Vladimir Putin has gained fans in the West who see him as a defender of Christianity. It has been utterly bizarre, Van Maren writes, to watch this unfold, not least because Putin is following the oldest propaganda trick in the book, portraying himself as a defender of traditional values against Western decadence in order to deflect criticism from an oppressive regime maintained by murder, censorship, mass arrests, a rigged judiciary, and faux elections. Van Maren notes, as he's written before, Zimbabwean dictator Robert Mugabe utilized rape, death, and death squads and tortured and controlled his subjects. He famously condemned the LGBT movement at the UN in defense of quote-unquote traditional values. Libyan strongman Muammar Gaddafi vocally opposed homosexuality at the African Union while running covert rape rooms and forced abortion chambers. There's dozens of other examples out there, by the way. I mean, you could look down at North Korea's leadership. All you have to do is look over at Xi Jinping, which Van Maren also notes, that he is doing this exact, Xi Jinping is doing this exact same playbook. The exact same playbook that Putin is using right now, Xi Jinping is using. Cracking down on the LGBT movement, Van Maren writes, and censoring certain films, citing a defense of traditional Chinese values and a need to combat Western influence. But yet Jinping also presides over the mass persecution of Christians, the murder of dissidents, the genocide against Uyghurs, and in North Korea, where the alphabet lifestyle are presented by state media as a Western corruption, North Korea's Kim Jong-un went so far as to ban mullet hairstyles and skinny jeans with those who repeatedly violate fashion laws sent to the labor camps. All of these leaders see quote-unquote traditional values as an identitarian and political issue, rather than one of biblical piety or religion. That last sentence cannot be overstated enough. And there are enough people out there that are seeing this, and some on the right who believe that politics began the day they were born, are stupid enough and shallow enough to embrace it and act as though that is somehow a legitimate defense of traditional values. Or that Putin represents anything that is a traditional value. Define traditional value. That's the question I would like to ask these people. I told you before, a podcaster, a very popular podcaster, a dude, a younger dude on the right, and he never aired this debate that we had. Sat down across from him and he was telling me, oh, the leader of Hungary is doing these things. Shouldn't we in the United States also be promoting traditional values? And of course, this younger commentator is out there praising Putin right now. And it was at an event. We sat down and we had a back and forth and they never aired this. And it was one of the first that he did. But he was saying, oh, the leader of Hungary, you know, they're paying people to have more Hungarian babies. And that's what we should do here in the West. And I said, so like welfare. No, not like welfare. Well, in what way is it not like welfare? It's exactly like welfare. How successful has that been here in the United States? Go back and look generationally. We are still doing it. Can you cite for me the success rate? Can you cite for me any sort of evidence of achievement of such a plan that you think would equate to success in Hungary? They couldn't answer. And I see it again with this people talking about Vladimir Putin. You know, I made mention yesterday the subway system in Moscow, the one subway, the big area there that everybody always goes to was literally designed to appeal to people from the West and try to make them feel bad about where they come from, even though it was designed by people from the West. That very train station or that very subway station in Moscow was conceived, designed, and entirely built by Western designers, architects, and laborers that were imported from London by Stalin. And they left the little stuff like the murals and that to the actual Soviet workers because they apparently couldn't trust their own brain trust to do any of this. And then afterwards, they jailed some of the consultants and architects for the accusation that they just simply knew too much about their transit system and that it then created a national security issue. How convenient. But that's exactly what happened. So they appealed to the West to build something that they could try to then appropriate and say was their own creation, even though they could not have conceived it or built it without the West at all. So capitalism once again prevailed, and right there in the heart of Moscow. That's delicious. And this here, I'm very curious as how anyone can say that Putin is somehow a defender of traditional values when political opponents are poisoned routinely, murdered regularly, and this guy, who apparently has more evidence of his professed faith in his life than Putin ever did, this guy's a Christian, and his life has been dictated by his faith, and yet all the people who are praising Putin's so-called traditional values have nothing to say, really? Maybe one contrived little generic statement, and then it's just back to the way things were. They have nothing else to say. You had an actual Christian dissident speak out and was murdered. These same people sit here and run their mouths about Joel Osteen, but they say nothing about the Orthodox establishment in Russia that give cover to Vladimir Putin. I just find it fascinating how much certain people will overlook. When did it be cool to sit here and act as though anything that Putin or Russia did is in any way greater than what the United States has done? Or that somehow, yes, we have our problems in the United States, but if you wanted to have a phallus measuring contest about a laundry list of problems, pretty sure Russia will win that one. I feel like it's a psyop, and I feel like a lot of thirsty influencers out there who are desperately trying to break through a very saturated environment and desperately competing with each other for clicks are trying to outshine one another by seeing who can be edgier. Oh, they found the missing thing with Putin that makes it somehow different than previous praise heaped upon Putin. Oh no, this time it's different because it's more conservative because, or it makes sense because it's you? Because you just You have, because what? They can never answer. I mean, how is it any different from what Xi Jinping is doing? Christians are persecuted in China. We had our family, some friends of some members of our family who worked in business in China. And they actually had to very carefully, they were there professionally, but they were also professed Christians and very devoted to their faith. And they ended up adopting, through a very arduous process, a child in Beijing. But they noted how difficult it was. They could do whatever they want because they were high up executives. One of the husband was a very high up executive with a business there. So he could do whatever he wanted to. But the employees couldn't. The employees couldn't have Bibles. They couldn't worship regularly. They couldn't go to church on Sunday. They couldn't do any of this stuff. It's very different. They're very much persecuted over there. And so the playbook that Xi Jinping is using is the exact same one that Vladimir Putin is using. Why are there some facets of the right that are looking to tyrants as models for what the United States should do or should be? I get it that Joe Biden is bad, but that doesn't mean that you go looking at Vladimir Putin. That means you go looking in places like Florida, Ron DeSantis, you know, the guy that some of these people had such a hard problem with that they couldn't even conceive the idea, and they looked at it as betrayal that even ran in 2024. But some of these same tastemakers or aspiring tastemakers want to sit here and put Putin on that pedestal? Seriously? You don't need to go look in Moscow. We have great leaders without all of that tyranny here in the United States. It just blows the mind. It's a very good piece. I'm going to make sure that you get it for you subscribers over at Chapter and Verse. But I think it's something that we very much need to be careful of. And when you talk about traditional values, whose traditional values are you talking about? The Kel-Tec folks. Love Kel-Tec. The Kel-Tec Sub-2K. This is just an awesome 9mm carbine. It's gun origami. I'm telling you. I have the Gen 2. This is the Gen 3. So they've upgraded and changed some stuff for the better. So this is the third generation of their semi-auto carbine. It folds in half, the whole thing, optics and all. Now, my previous iteration, I have to take the optics off of it, but not with the Gen 3. It's a simple twist and fold motion. They have this patent pending rotating fore end. It's either direction, twist it, super easy, folds right in half, and it just as easily, quickly deploys as well. But they also, they fine-tuned it further. They have the upgraded aluminum trigger, so it's redesigned mechanics for a light and 5-pound pull. You have more, that means more precise feedback. You got a clean isolated pull, improved accuracy, upgraded action as well. They have a new chamber indicator. This, the Sub 2K Gen 3, this picks up where handguns leave off. And it tucks away super sweet in situations where space is limited. You got to check it out from Kel-Tec. It's the Kel-Tec Made in America family values. K-E-L-T-E-C, KelTecWeapons.com. It's the Sub 2K Gen 3. Tell them Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right here, Florida Man, when this is like the most normal part of our day. All right, first up. I know it is. It's you know, it's true. This is such a weird. A Florida man was booted from Hooters before a bizarre residential rampage thwarted by an armed homeowner. Guns save lives. What? Yeah. It was a Florida man accused of disrupting a Hooters restaurant before trying to break into a home in Lee County. The homeowner was like, yeah, FAFO and open fire. Hugh Mick. His is a weird last name. McManaman. Too many M's and N's in your name. That's, you don't need that many M's and N's in your name. Hugh McManaman. Jiminy. 44 was arrested last week. He tried to break into a home in Cape Coral, left a path of destruction. They said earlier he would not leave a Hooters restaurant, caused a ruckus, and then targeted a home for a break-in. He knocked down portions of the home's 6-foot fence around the property before he kicked in the front door. He looks like a mean dude. Doesn't he, in his mugshot? He's like one of those guys. He also apparently, after the break-in, dropped his mom's debit card on the property driveway. He tried to break in through a home window. Homeowner was armed, fired shots. He was arrested, charged with a whole bunch of stuff. And he's including $3,000 damage to the home. He has violated parole. He had aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, all kinds of stuff. He's still in custody with Cape Coral. Mm-hmm. And it all started at Hooters. There you go. Oh, this is so... I really don't want to read those online. It's so gross. Jacksonville, Florida. A Florida man is healing.
That's good.
After, no. How does this happen? A horrific amount of bugs were pulled from his nasal and sinus passages earlier this month. My whole head spinning. He says, my whole face felt like it was on fire. He says, over a couple of hours, my face swelled, my lips swelled, I could hardly talk. The patient was not identified. He went to the hospital for constant nosebleeds and pain. And an ENT on call found by looking inside of his nose, there were dozens of live, oh my gosh. I can't believe this is a sentence. Dozens of live larvae feeding on his inside face cavities. They said they were right up against his skull base, right under the brain. Had they gone up through it, it could have killed him. Okay, is it going to be weird if I go to my ENT and be like, can you just look up my nose, make sure I don't have any bugs eating away my facial cavities? I feel like that's something. How does this happen?
How do you not blow your nose and some come out?
Some of them bugs were as large as the tip of a pinky finger. 150 of them were removed, used by a variety of instruments. The larva was sent to lab for testing. Apparently, this is never, it's called nasal miasis. Yes. How is this pronounced?
It sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, I feel medical. Like it's a nasal infestation caused by housefly larva. It's a rare condition. Oh my gosh. Now anytime I get a runny nose, I'm gonna feel like I have it. I am completely freaking out right now.
So that's a real story, just wasn't one for you to get you to say
Fox
miasis.
Channel 8.
All right.
Fox Channel 8. It's an actual for real story.
Sometimes you gotta check those out.
I mean, how does this even happen? They said that he noticed symptoms in the fall. He has a compromised immune system. And apparently they said sometimes people with healthy immune systems can fight off things like this naturally. That's why you always wash your hands. Oh my gosh. But he said that apparently his might have come from cleaning dead fish. I don't know. This is so gross. I can't even deal. We have a whole third hour on the way. Stay with us.
To Madam Vice President and to Mr. President, we see how difficult it is for the Congress to deal with the assistance to Ukraine. Could you please elaborate on why such vital issue to us has been so postponed, and whether United States has a plan B, shall the House of Representatives not confirm the assistance package to Ukraine? And also the question regarding the signature of Ukraine with bilateral security agreements, firstly with Great Britain, yesterday with France and Germany. I have a question: when the agreement on cooperation in security field will be signed between Ukraine and the United States of America? Perhaps there are already preliminary negotiations on this topic.
There's only plan A, which is to ensure that Ukraine receives what it needs.
To do what? Like what is to do what? What's the point of it?
Welfare.
And pensions and all this other stuff. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. And you can also check out this newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, and the live stream, the video component of the radio program at YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. Yeah, they never actually explain that very well. To do what? What does Ukraine need to do? What is it? I keep hearing from people arguing in favor of the Ukraine supplemental that it is, that it'll help Ukraine win. How did the previous billions not help Ukraine win? And by what margin, and how, and when, what exactly? Like, what? Can people articulate this? Because it doesn't seem like it. And whenever you ask, there's never any kind of answer. It's just, how dare you ask? You should just give. No ask, only give. That's it. I guess that was what she was told to do, is just stand firm and say only that, oh, well, we're committed to this extent and nothing more. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, right? That's she just was told to stay right here on this point. I wanted to switch gears and get into some of this other stuff. This one story that I was going to hit on Friday, it's ongoing still, about the MS Society, the National MS Society. I don't know if you've seen this story. I am shocked that it is that this organization is doing this, and how far all of this wokery stuff has gone. It's the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. And so this woman, she's 90 years old, and she's out of Long Beach, California. And her husband had MS. And she and her husband apparently worked with the National MS Organization. They did so much over 60 years, six decades of volunteer service. And she won multiple awards for her work. And she's 90 years old, okay? So the fact that, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but the fact that she has email and uses email is pretty amazing, because a lot of 90-year-olds still don't, you know, like to, or prefer, even if they know how to, they don't prefer to communicate with folks that way. And so she's been volunteering for 60 years with the MS Society. And her organization, it was the Lakewood Long Beach Self-Help Group. And her organization helps people with MS, and they do a lot. And she's just, you know, looks like a very nice 90-year-old woman. And her involvement began with her husband's diagnosis, and she's, you know, she is very passionate about that issue. And so one day, what?
60 years she's been doing.
Yeah, that's what I've said, like, twice. Yeah, 60 years. So she saw one of these emails come in one day, she saw that people started using these pronouns along with their names. So people would sign, you know how you sign off an email, like, oh, well, you know, Dana Lash, whatever. And I you know, if you chose to use pronouns, her, hers, whatever. And she had no idea what that meant. And she had said, I saw it on some letters that came in, and I saw that people had pronouns attached to their name. I just didn't know what it meant. And Fran Itkoff is her name. She said that she asked one of the people with the MS Society, well, why are they using these after their name? She just didn't understand what it meant. She said, finally, I was talking to this representative and I thought I would ask, what does it mean? And I let her tell me. And Libs of TikTok had the email that was sent. She said that she was told it meant they were all inclusive. And she said that still didn't make sense to me. And she didn't know how she or her could be all inclusive. Think about this though. You're a 90-year-old woman. All you do and all you've done for 6 decades is volunteer work. You don't care about any of this other stuff. You're singularly minded on your mission to help people with MS. And then you start seeing people in email use these pronouns after your name, and she didn't know what that meant. You ask, and if you don't know what it means, you ask someone and they go, oh, well, it means all inclusive. Well, what? Do you see how it just gets even weirder if you don't live in this garbage world of activist rhetoric? So then, as a thinking person, she's like, well, if it's not referring to men, why is it all inclusive? So a couple of days after the conversation, she was told that she had to step down as a volunteer for the MS Society. The letter said, quote, Dear Fram, I hope this email finds you well. We appreciate your dedication and contribution as a self-help group leader with our organization. She says that the letter said that as we discussed earlier on one of our phone conversation, after a thorough review of our guidelines and standards, it has come to our attention that there has been a failure to abide by our diversity, equity, and inclusion guidelines during your time as a volunteer. Unfortunately, based on the situation, we have made the difficult decision to have you step down from your volunteer position effective immediately. Although the Lakewood Long Beach Self-Help Group will no longer be formally affiliated with our organization, we want to emphasize it does not mean the end of your group's activities. You can continue meeting independently from the society, et cetera, et cetera. You know this email was sent by someone who hasn't even done a half or a third or a quarter of the work she's done. And she said that the verbiage, she couldn't even understand that. She couldn't be a part of as a volunteer. And her daughter pointed out the irony in the statement that they were excluding a 90-year-old disabled woman who volunteered for over 60 years. She's won awards with her work. They gave her a Volunteer Lifetime Achievement Award in 2008. Her husband went out and met Jimmy Carter when he was still in office because he won MS Father of the Year. And the daughter added that it's sad that they're discriminating against her because MS doesn't discriminate. She literally asked a question because she just didn't know what it meant. She doesn't live in that world. She doesn't pay attention to that stuff. And the daughter blasted the MS Society's entire mission and wondered if they're too focused on inclusive talk and not working to actually fight MS. And I agree with her. She said she's going to continue with her group because the patients want to keep going. Can you believe the National Multiple Sclerosis Society is actually valuing pronouns over fighting MS? Because that's exactly what this is. They are betraying their mission and they're sacrificing the fight for MS at the altar of trans activist rhetoric. It is offensive. It's offensive most to the people that they claim to help. Is there nothing free from the infection of this activist rhetoric? She's a 90-year-old woman. I would love to know the identity and age of the person that thought it was acceptable to force a 90-year-old woman who had more experience than the entire lifetimes of the people who probably let her told her to step down as a volunteer. where they get off or where they think they have the right to ask her to step down simply because she asked for clarification. And notice that at no time they offered no clarification. She wasn't doing it to make a political statement. I mean, and to be frank with you, when your fight is about pronouns, you look like a moron. You're forcing everyone else to play along with your fantasy perspective. And you claim that you're doing it because you want them to be nice to you. But by God, if they don't, then you're going to go after their job and everything else. Now tell me the irony in that position. I wouldn't want to give any more. I wouldn't want to give any money to the National Multiple Sclerosis Foundation after that, because you don't even know what they're going to use it for. Clearly, they're not prioritizing work and advocacy on behalf of the patients that go and see them. This is just how insidious this is. 90 years old, multiple awards. That's all she does. She loves helping people and working with people. And she literally asked a question. And apparently they provided everything, you know. She asked a question like, what does that mean? Why is that? Because it sounded like she was asking the question, like, should I be doing that too? Honestly, that's what it sounded like when I was reading through this, the discussion. She didn't say it, but it sounded like she was trying to figure out if that is that something that she needs to be doing on behalf of MS? Like, what? Do you see? She's 90 years old. That is not her world. And most people who did not come up in that way, where you worship rhetoric, they don't prioritize that stuff. I can't even believe this has to be explained. And I also think it is the indulgence of the younger activist generation who think that everything has to live and die by this stupid stuff. Just awful. Just absolutely awful. Now, today's President's Day. A lot of people are saying that Washington should have his own birthday. There was a really good op-ed in Newsweek that gets into how, because it was his birthday, and then they kind of put together President's Day with Washington's birthday. One of my favorite books that I've ever read about George Washington was The Blood of Tyrants, George Washington and the Forging of the U.S. Presidency. It's really, really good. And it gets into a whole bunch of stuff, too, about everything that Washington and the founders dealt with, like military tribunals over civilian trials and all kinds of other stuff. It had his letters back and forth to the other founders. It got into everything, government debt, overspending. But it also provided a really brilliant insight into Washington and how he handled things. There was a story, too, and I'm trying to find this in my notes. There was an interesting story about Washington that got into, I think Red State may have touched on this before, where it talked about how, you know, Washington's history, because he was always kind of hardcore. Washington was always hardcore. I mean, there's stories of when he got mad at his own fighters' cowardice that he charged the battlefield with bullets, muskets, tearing through his coat, and he wasn't hit, and people thought it was miraculous, and they followed him. He was very much chivalrous, but he also had a temper, and he did not tolerate cowardice or insubordination when it came to promoting the American ideal. And everybody knows, like, you know, it's the basic stuff about his, you know, fake teeth and all this. But there was one story where, because he worked as a surveyor, he was an experienced surveyor. He worked as a surveyor when he was younger, and he was licensed at age of 17. He started being a surveyor for Culpeper County in Virginia. And he was doing his job, you know, doing his stuff. And there was one landowner who, I guess, got mad at what he was doing. And long story short, they had a warrant out for his arrest. And they said that, because back in the day, you actually had to find the guy yourself. There weren't police out there to enforce a warrant. You had to hire the prosecutor. So in order to do it, if you really wanted to do it, you had to do all of the work yourself. Anyway, so long story short, when they tried to finally get him, the warrant that was returned to the county court said, quote, the within name George Washington would not be taken. He kept me off by force of arms. And they put it in the too hard box and then dismissed the case. He wasn't gonna. Yeah. I love it. It's hysterical, but it is President's Day. But I think it should be. I think we should just have Washington's birthday just be a standalone national. Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a woman is... Wait, what? This is a weird headline. A woman is celebrating turning 100 years old on her 25th birthday. Yeah, this is wild. She's turning... But it's... What? She was born on February 29, 1924, so that was leap day. So since leap years come around only every 4 years, technically... She's 25.
Yeah, she's only had 25 actual birthdays.
I would just change the day. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm sure she celebrates on March 1st.
But man alive, apparently 5 million people across the world have a leap day birthday. That's like very, so it's very special. So now the headline is, too much exercise can kill you. Yeah, especially if you're a white dude. 7.5 hours a week of fitness can double your risk of heart disease, according to Chicago researchers. I guess they want you to eat bugs and do nothing and own nothing. I don't know. Stephen Yates joins us next. Stay with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can also catch the simulcast of the radio program. Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook as well. We have missed our guest, Stephen Yates. You know, he doesn't just like live to come on air with us. He actually has, he does very important things and he travels all over the world. And he joins us now via Skype. If you're unfamiliar with Mr. Yates, he is the senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute and the chair of the China Policy Initiative. I've got a million questions to ask you, but I'm glad that you've been traveling safely. Good to have you back. Right off the top, explain this to me. So I'm looking at this headline. It's from Reuters, and Reuters even acknowledges that it's weird. And the Guardian had a write up on this too. And everyone's just like, very, what is happening here? Very odd. In an unusual move, notes Reuters, China offers to back Hungary in security matters on public security issues, not just trade and investment, but apparently they've been meeting with Viktor Orban, who's a prime minister over there. What is this purpose for? What are they going to help Hungary with?
Well, it's definitely headline worthy of raising eyebrows and scratching your head, because this is not a part of the world that people should be expecting China to be having very much influence. Right. I was in Hungary not that long ago, and it is a country where some investment from China can go a long way, and it does buy some influence. Now, I have no idea what's on offer. At face value, it sounds like Xi Jinping is offering to Orban to have Putin put in the corner and not threaten their sovereignty. So it's, in a way, the usual gangster come by and say, hey, you know, for a little bit of coin, I can make sure that the other bully doesn't come by and break your store window. And so that's what I always have as a first presumption when China's making a real offer. Now, they have made a habit of making a lot of fake offers, whether it's a Middle East peace plan or a peace plan with Ukraine and a whole host of other things. So the second assumption, besides the sort of mafia don coming around for his peace, is that this is just political bloviation and they're just stirring the pot. But it's mystifying to me why Orban and Hungary would entertain this.
Yeah, because my first thought was, well, because it didn't look like it was a Belt and Road Initiative overture. And then I started thinking of all of the secret police offices that China had here in the United States. And I was just, it seemed like, is that because they say with public security issues, is that what they're looking at here?
Well, there is this weird wave of interest in Hungary because of some of their unique laws that look at promoting the family and childbirth and all kinds of other kinds
expanding
of things.
Expanding welfare. Yay.
And that has echoed back a bunch of criticism, some from the right, but a lot from the left. where there's been just absolute unfiltered hatred going back toward Hungary. And we know that when you get really fanatical kind of mind zombies on the left going after you, you can have some public security issues.
Yeah.
But really in that part of the world, if you have a population that isn't that big and you have an economy relative to some of your neighbors that is not that big, you have to be concerned about organized crime. China knows about that. And you have to be worried about a bully neighbor. And so this is a way for governments in Eastern Europe, if they don't feel like they're getting it from the United States in a way that helps them feel secure. And more importantly, as we have repeatedly emphasized, your supposed neighbors in Europe are not stepping up and doing what their neighborly duty ought to be. Then you turn to some of these devils far away under the theory that they're so far away, they can't hurt me, and they might help balance against a nearer demon like Russia.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the thought process. I think it's fraught with peril, but you know, you can't blame too many people for looking to Washington and saying, all we have is hot air coming out of D.C. right now, and all the money and materiel is going to Ukraine, so the rest of us are on our own.
Yeah. Talking with our very good friend Stephen Yates, who joins us very regularly. You mentioned, and I'm going to get to Russia and the Navalny death, the accidental death. Apparently he had bruises all over himself, and I guess they were trying to get his body. It's just a weird, I mean, he was killed. I mean, obviously the Putin regime had him killed. What gets me about all of this, and I'm sure that you've seen this, you know, I watched, Tucker Carlson's a friend of mine, I watched his interview with Putin, and what I found odd in the wake of that was the praise from certain people that identify as being on the right. I tend to joke and say that these people think that politics began the day that they were born. But they think that like people like Putin and even to an extent Xi Jinping are somehow defenders of traditional values, but yet they persecute Christians. I mean, Navalny was a professed Christian. Xi Jinping persecutes Christians, to say nothing of the Uyghurs. I'm trying to figure out how that gets lost in the translation of they stand for traditional values and that gets like represented here in the United States as a good thing.
Yeah, well, I do think that there is a difference between Russian tradition and culture and Chinese tradition and culture that might make a little bit of difference in this equation. But overall, you're still dealing with aggressors who are about control, not freedom, and whatever respect they have for an independent institution of religion, faith, family, what have you. They've certainly proven that they're willing to step over all of those boundaries when their political and their self-defined national interests are at play. So I think we have, you know, to look at people who go to the Russia example and say, you know, why are we going overboard in demonizing and fighting with Russia when we have a civilizational threat coming from China that is actually on our shores? And shouldn't we be focused on other things? And every bit of material that's spent on this, as just is a fact of life, is taken away from meeting other challenges. I'm open to that kind of an argument because life isn't free. We don't have unlimited capacity and multitasking is a lie. But I don't share the idea of holding up these other kinds of people. I favor someone like Tucker doing an interview. I favor criticizing these people when they kill their political opponents. I do think that I care a lot more about political opponents being jailed and killed in the United States than I do about those overseas. Maybe that makes me a bad person in some regards, but I think it's important not to overlook that. There's a large swath of our political culture that goes to high church about things far away, and they look right past the graveyard in the United States. And I think that's a real massive problem we have in this moment, as a lot of our authors in our commentary like to say.
I agree. And I made this point last week and I got some pushback from some folks on the left because I thought you're very upset over Alexei Navalny, but where were you on the people who were detained on January 6th who didn't even go into the Capitol and who were arrested?
Right.
Or people who went in and maybe they stood in the rotunda in between the velvet ropes, which I still to this day find entertaining that they didn't go rogue wild and they literally all orderly filed. It's all on video. They orderly filed into the rotunda. I mean, yes, the people who did damages, etc., they've been prosecuted. But the other people saw security guards opening the door and walked in. There are people who have been detained for months. People who have been given harsher sentences than like serious predators, say, out in California or up in New York. So how is that any different, except maybe, you know, they're not being poisoned or beaten to death while they're detained? How is that on its face, though, a different first step from what began with Navalny?
Right. They can both be wrong. There doesn't have to be one right and one wrong, and neither justifies the other. But the one that's happening here, done by our government to our own people, should bother us more. And we should get our own house in order first. I think that's kind of the America First ethos that a lot of people have kind of drawn their attention to. You can pick your flavor, what have you. But I think people are weary about the preachers talking about the far away. It matters to a degree. Injustice elsewhere does affect us in some way. But injustice right here and now in our own country against our own people, I mean, I care about Americans getting killed by fentanyl, cartels, others, a lot more than I do about civil strife in other parts of the world, even the places I know. And I understand if other Americans feel similarly. It's my job to make sure that we take care of America. And then when we have extra capacity, work with reliable partners to help keep those problems far from our shores.
I think that's a great point. Talking with our friend Stephen Yates. So Chinese fishing vessels are now being accused of pumping cyanide into international waters. This is what the Philippines Fishing Authority has said. Not international waters, I should say, contested waters, because they have the South Sea, and then they're trying to say that it's theirs. They have their little man-made island that they put into it as like their flag in the water. I mean, you're intentionally destroying commercial enterprise at that point. I mean, I just think that this is something that like the Jefferson went after the Barbary pirates for. What is going to happen over this? Because to me, it seems like that's a massive, massive escalation.
It is an escalation. But first, I can't get past that headline and start asking, where are the high priesthood of the green universe when the CCP is obviously and verifiably poisoning the world? And yet your salvation comes from a manufacturing platform driven almost entirely by these same people who have no sense of quality control, don't care about your green universe. And so there's that whole part. You'd think there would just be a little bit of criticism about bad China on some of this, and maybe rallying to some of the victims in Asia. But on geostrategic terms, I mean, no one has really provoked China. This is all Xi Jinping picking fights. Now, he's doing it because he can. America's weak. The rest of the world is confused. All of that. And that's by our choice and our mistakes. That can change. But it's also because he has real problems at home. He has all kinds of things happening there that are difficult pressures, and they need to have these distractions. That's why I think we're in a dangerous period. We've talked about this a number of times. A lot of people talk about big, bad China overcoming America. That is a challenge in some theory. That's not today, and it's not for near decades. But today, a fragile, failing China is dangerous. And I think that's some of the symptoms that are getting them to pick on the Philippines. Because we've joked in the past about why someone picks on Canada, other than their crazy prime minister. I don't know why they do.
Yeah.
But picking on the Philippines is another one of those. If you're picking a fight, borderline a war with the Philippines, odds are you're the problem.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem as though that China in its... And I think that your point is often missed by a lot of people who talk about this, whether it's on cable news or in editorials, decades out, because China has their own issues, much like Russia has their issues. And I still don't think that a one weakened entity would help prop up another weakened entity, and then together they could become one stronger entity, because I think there's too many tyrant egos at play there, and too many overbearing governments that would allow they wouldn't want to have that kind of joint venture.
No, I mean, it's a race to the bottom in a certain sense. So I think if we have this opportunity with Xi Jinping being unambiguously aggressive and wrong. You would think it would be a wake-up call to the doctrinaire Europeans, Asians, and Americans.
But what role does India play in this? I mean, what you made the point before that we should be doing more to become better friends with India. They've already beaten China in population. They're not friends with China. Russia's been trying to saddle up to them. I mean, it seems like they could play an outsized role in this.
They could. We just have to have realistic expectations. We definitely could do more, should do more. Our supply chains would be safer relying more there than they are inside the People's Republic of China. Just have to always remember in dealing with India, like some other parts of the world, there is only one version of time, soon and very soon. And I can't tell you what they mean. You just don't want to be stuck in soon.
Ooh,
and so things can move slowly in that relationship, but we should be pushing in that direction. We spent 40 to 50 years on this mistaken bet, making China our sole source manufacturing platform for way too many things. We've got to change that faster than that 50 years. India should be a part of that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Stephen Yates, always appreciate it. You can find him on X at YatesComms, 2 M's. Thank you so much for your time. Always enjoy talking with you. We'll talk with you again soon. Take care.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
We have more to come as we wrap up this third hour, folks, and roll right into Today in Stupidity. Before we do so, our partners over at Kel-Tec, the Kel-Tec Sub-2K, the Gen 3, awesome, awesome, awesome 9mm carbine. If you have not checked it out, now is the time. This is total Kel-Tec innovation, just, you know, at its best. And this, they've made so many changes. They've upgraded some things with this. Like, for instance, the Sub-2K Gen 3, you don't have to detach your favorite optics to fold it in half. It's a simple twist and fold motion of the patent pending rotating fore end. So you can twist it in either direction, fold it right in half, and you can quickly and easily deploy it just the same. Optics and all, which is nice. They upgraded the aluminum trigger, redesigned the mechanics. So you got a light and 5 pound pull, more precise feedback, easier isolated, like a clean isolated pull. You got improved accuracy. All kinds of new stuff. New chamber indicator, redesigned operating handle for added comfort. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff with it. All made in America. Family-owned values at their best. And you can learn more about the Sub-2K, Sub-2000 Gen 3. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And if we would give them and pass this resolution, pass this supplemental, and give them what they need so that they can continue to take this fight to Vladimir Putin and the Russians, they will win. They're already, you know, they're outmanned, but they are winning, you know, almost 12-1, you know, to every, you know, and every death is hard, but for every one Ukrainian soldier that is lost, 12-15 Russian soldiers are lost. So it just—
What do you mean, like, if you just give them money, they win? Huh? That's how it works. That's how it works? If you give money, give, win. See? It's pay to win, not pay to play. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. Confused about that because it does not seem that way. We've given them a lot of money. There's no winning. Now they want more money for probably more not winning, right? I don't know. I'm curious.
At some point, people are going to catch on to the idea that this is about perpetuating this so that the money printer can continue in the name of, quote, national security, unquote. That's what this is about. They're going to— everything's about extending the timeline on all of these things.
Yeah, that none of this makes sense. None of it makes sense. I'm going to be on Jesse Waters' program tonight. And apparently, so they told me what my topic is going to be. It's going to be about protecting criminals that have been and threatening cops, and how Kansas City mayor accused the governor of a racial dog whistle because he called the Super Bowl parade shooters thugs. Were they acting like thugs? You know that white people can be thugs. Everybody can be a thug. I think actually that the Kansas City mayor is acting like a thug. So what? Anyway, we're going to be talking about this tonight. One of the many topics. All right. Today in Stupidity.
Vice President Thug Kamala Harris. Listen to what she says here. Do you have it? Go ahead.
Do you think that Ukraine can survive a year this year on the battlefield without American aid.
Ukraine needs our support, and we must give it.
Oh, well, there it is.
Must we?
There it is, then.
Must we? Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Substack, Chapter and Verse, back with you tomorrow.